My dear friends in Christ, we have today a gospel story of one of three persons whom our Lord raised from the dead. There may have been others, but three that are mentioned in the gospels. And notice that the young man who was raised from the dead, that his mother was a widow, and he was her only son. I have to believe that our Lord, who knows all things, timed his visit to this little town, Nain, when the funeral procession was going out to the cemetery, that it was not by mere accident that our Lord came upon this funeral procession. Rather, that he knew that this young man had died, that his mother was a widow, and that he purposely timed his visit to the town to encounter the funeral procession and to raise the young man to life. Notice also that no one asked our Lord for this miracle, but he did it out of the love and the compassion of his Sacred Heart. And in fact, we see that very word, compassion, in the gospel, that our Lord had compassion upon this woman and raised her son to life. We come across the same word, we did come across that same word 2 months ago on the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, which occurred sometime in July this year, in which the gospel says that there was a large crowd following our Lord, and he said to his disciples, "I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes fasting, they will faint on the way." And that is the story of the second multiplication of the loaves and fishes to feed a large crowd. But notice that word, "I have compassion on the multitude," on the crowd. And in today's gospel, our Lord had compassion on this woman who was a widow. So we think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We think of that quality of compassion. And what does that mean? The word compassion is compounded from two Latin words. The com, the C-O-M, means with. And the passion means to suffer. So it means to suffer with someone. If you compassionate someone else, you enter into that person's grief. You enter into that person's trial, and you feel for that person. There's a real empathy there, as though you yourself were suffering what that person is suffering. And so this is a quality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we should reflect upon. His compassion for us, his love for us, his sharing, so to speak, with us in our sufferings, in our trials. Now, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a wonderful devotion, a wonderful way of our understanding of our Lord's love for us, his sympathy, his compassion, his desire to do good to us. The devotion to the Sacred Heart is one which helps us to understand that quality of our Lord. We know that we worship the Sacred Heart of Jesus because just like we can worship his precious blood, his divinity is united to his humanity, and thus his heart is divine and worthy of worship. But we have that devotion to the Sacred Heart, and we look at the heart because the heart is the symbol of love. We can think of our Lord there in the tabernacle, where this heart burning, beating with love for us. And that he is there because of his love for us. Devotion to the Sacred Heart, at least insofar as being practiced throughout the church, throughout the world, is something of fairly recent devotion. It was known and practiced by various saints in the Middle Ages. In fact, this book by Father Croisette on devotion to the Sacred Heart mentions that St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived in the 1100s, had devotion to the Sacred Heart, mentions the Sacred Heart of Jesus in his writings, especially St. Gertrude, who lived 400 years before St. Margaret Mary, mentions and practiced devotion to the Sacred Heart. But it was only in the 17th century that the devotion really began to spread in the church. And there were two saints who lived in that century. One was St. John Eudes, who was a priest in France, who promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, wrote a beautiful book on devotion to the Sacred Heart, and another one on devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, whom he refers to as the Admirable Heart of Mary. And he wrote the first Mass of the Sacred Heart and obtained permission for it to be celebrated in his religious congregation beginning in 1670. Now also about that time, there was St. Margaret Mary. And she was a religious of the Visitation. And our Lord appeared to her also in France, showed her his heart. And he said, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much, and yet is so little loved in return." So St. Margaret Mary began, through her confessor, to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart. And at first it wasn't accepted. The nuns in the convent thought that she was a little strange. But over time, the devotion began to take root. And yet, it wasn't until 1856 that the Feast of the Sacred Heart was established for the Universal Church, which means it was celebrated throughout the world every year. And then it was raised in rank until now the Feast of the Sacred Heart is what we call the double of the first class, the highest rank. And that devotion to the Sacred Heart is generally practiced in the church. We have the beautiful prayer called the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, an act of consecration to the Sacred Heart, acts of preparation to the Sacred Heart. But it all boils down to reflecting upon the love that Jesus Christ has for each of us. His love in coming into the world, suffering, establishing his church, but then dying upon the cross to redeem us. And let us then have this devotion. Let us love the Sacred Heart. But let us also remember that we are to imitate the Sacred Heart. The heart of Jesus is filled with compassion and love for his creatures. We also are to strive to imitate that compassion. And I want to read to you from the Gospel of St. Matthew what is part of this Sermon on the Mount. And this is from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, where our Lord talks about loving others, even loving our enemies. And he said, "You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and shalt hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute and calumniate you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven, who makes his sun to shine on the good and the evil, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward shall you have? Do not even the publicans do this? And if you salute your brethren only, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do this? You, therefore, are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." So Jesus here tells us we are to imitate God, God the Father, and of course himself, because God loves all men whom he created. He desires the salvation of all. He sends his rain and shines his sun on all. And again, God loves all men. So we think about the compassion of the Sacred Heart, how he raised this woman's son to life because of his compassion for her, how he fed the multitude from compassion, Do I have that quality? Let us admit it. Human nature is very selfish. We tend to think of ourselves and our needs and our wants and desires. But our Lord thought of others, not himself. When he was nailed to the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So his whole focus was on others and not on himself. But we, by nature, are very self-centered. So true Christianity, true imitation of Christ, means that we try to conquer that selfishness. We try to overcome our self-centeredness and think of others and compassionate others and truly love others as our Lord has loved us. For he has said, "If you will be my disciples, love one another." Let us then imitate the Sacred Heart. Let us practice devotion to the Sacred Heart and strive to learn from him that quality of compassion. For Jesus said, "I am meek and humble of heart." We have that beautiful prayer, "Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.